I'm not holding on to Jesus. He's holding on to me. Amen. And thank God for His faithfulness. He's true to His Word. And that's why we hold to the Word so strongly, because that's where our faith is assured, and that's where our assurance comes from, is from the Word of God and the God of the Word. We know the one who gave us this book is faithful and true, and all of His promises are yea and amen. Judges chapter 18 tonight, Judges 18. Appreciate each one being here tonight. And just want to look at a passage here, a story. We've been looking at different of the judges in particular, but tonight I want to look at a town, really, and one of the stories that follows the account of the judges. Now, there's a couple of stories, three or four stories that follow the account of the judges. I think that probably these stories are intertwined during the times of the judges. We're not sure exactly when some of these took place. But it really gives an idea of the state of the nation as a whole, and just how far they had gotten away from the Lord and gotten away from the covenant that they'd entered into with the Lord, and just the results, the consequences of doing things your way instead of doing things God's way. And we know, we've looked at this, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That is kind of the theme of this book. And I've heard it said often, I think it bears repeating, you can make your own choices, but you don't make your own consequences. And so the book of Judges is really kind of a study of that statement. But I want to look at a town in particular, the town of Laish, and get a truth here from their situation, from their story. Judges chapter 18, if you found your place, I invite you to stand. Judges chapter 18, beginning verse number 1, and I'll read down through verse number 7. You follow along in your King James Bible. Scripture says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. And the children of Dan sent of their family 5 men from their coasts, men of valor, from Zorah and from Eshtol, to spy out the land and to search it out, or to search it. And they said unto them, go search the land, when they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. When they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite, and they turned in thither and said unto him, who brought thee hither? And what makest thou in this place, and what hast thou here? And he said unto them, thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and hath hired me, and I am his priest. And if you want to know the story about that, you can read Judges chapter 17 after I'm done preaching. Amen. Verse 5, and they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. And the priest said unto them, go in peace, before the Lord is your way wherein ye go. I'm not really sure if he asked counsel or not from the Lord, but he told them, go ahead. And look at verse 7. Then the 5 men departed and came to Laish and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure. And there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. We'll stop reading there. I want to preach for a little while, and we'll see the outcome of this story in just a little while, but I want us to think about this tonight, this topic, the danger of isolation. The danger of isolation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you, God, for your grace, your love, your mercy. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. And God, we pray right now that your Spirit would have complete liberty in this place. God, I pray that we would set aside the things of this world, that we would focus completely upon you and upon your Word. God, speak to us here. And this is a very simple truth before us, but God, it's a very important one. And Lord, I believe that in this age in which we live, where we could be so disconnected from everything, dear God, I pray that we would see the importance of fellowship, the importance of being present in the company of God's people, and that our lives be intertwined. God, it's so easy just to become disconnected and isolated. And God, we know that's not what you desire for us. And so, God, I pray you'd help us. Lord, we pray through this text tonight, help us to see the importance of church family and the family of God, and the right relationships that we should have. God, I pray that we would treasure them tonight. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank you for standing. You may be seated. As we move closer to the Lord's coming and the inventions of man continue to grow more and more sophisticated, it seems like in this time of mega connectivity, there's really a falling off and a falling away of real communication and real genuine fellowship. And especially during the times of COVID, we got real good at virtual church, which is really an oxymoron, because church is an assembly and you can't assemble online. Amen? And so, but as we get further and further from God's ideal and closer to the Lord's coming, it seems like people are becoming more and more disconnected. And I believe there's a real danger in just buying into an isolationist mentality, where you just feel like I can make it without those around me. Many times we adapt to that, or we espouse that, because there are hurts, there's misunderstandings. There are things that, situations that turn out ways that we wouldn't hope for. And as a result, many times we draw back into ourselves, we withdraw from the people of God, we withdraw into our little cave, like Elisha did, or Elijah, and we forget that we were created as social individuals. Now, everybody's personality is different. Some people, they just thrive being around other people. And to others, it's intimidating being around other people. Amen? People look at me and they think, man, you must love being around people. It terrifies me being around people. When I was a little fellow, people don't believe me now, but this is true. You call my brothers tonight and ask them, talk to my dad and mom, they'd tell you the same. We'd go into McDonald's, and one of those rare occasions as a little kid, we got to go to McDonald's. Man, our McDonald's was cool. We had one of the big plastic trees inside the McDonald's. Did you have any of those up here? And the little mushroom chairs? Okay, never mind. We love going there. But we'd go up and everybody do their, give their order. And I'd get up there like this. I would not even look at the person. And I barely just whisper out my order. And we'd go to a church, and the pastor would come up and shake my hand, and I was like this all the time. I was terrified of people. I'm still terrified of people. I am. But I've realized? I need people. I need to be around people. I need their influence in my life, and I need to use my influence in their life. No man's an island. No man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. And here's this town of Laish. And they had just come to the point where they were cut off from everyone else. And they just had their own, maybe they probably thought that their little town was a utopia. And they decided, man, our little town is perfect. We don't have to have business with anyone. We can just do our own thing, and everything's just going to be fine, and everything's just going to continue the way it is, and we'll just have a happy life. Well, one day, that utopia came to a screeching halt. One day, their little island that they thought they lived on was overrun by a tribe of Danites, and they were wiped off the map. And there's a few things that are in this passage, and I'm not going to be long tonight, but there's a few things I want to point out on the danger of having this, of being isolated and to be cut off from those around you. We could go into a lot of reasons why people isolate themselves, but the point of the message is tonight there is danger in that. There's danger in that. Notice you say, how can I know if I'm really isolating myself? Well, look at this town here and see what really they had become. In verse 7 again, it says, then the five men departed, came to Laish, and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt. What's that next word? Careless. Careless. Now, listen, to be careless is to be not vigilant, to not be on their guard. They were careless. Obviously, these five men were able to go and spy out the city. They were not observed doing that. They had no, listen, when that tribe came through later on and took out that city, they were unprepared, totally unprepared, because they dwelt careless. They probably did not have a watchtower. They most likely did not have people that were on the gates and on the walls watching. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to be watchmen in our homes, amen, in our churches, in our nation. We need people on the walls. When you start dwelling careless, that is, you're dwelling in a manner where you're so cut off from everybody, you feel like that you are not in no danger whatsoever. Listen, that is when the danger really heightens in our lives. You know, we ought to be careful when it comes to our families, our children, watching over them, and making sure that they're safe. Because there is an enemy that seeks to destroy them and devour them. As soon as you think, well, this is no big deal, and that's no big deal, you lose your vigilance. That's when the enemy will strike. He sees an opening because you do not have your guard up. They dwelt careless. Listen, the Bible tells us to be sober and to be vigilant. For our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Did you notice that word may? Whom he may devour? Listen, if we're being devoured by the devil, it's because we have not been sober and we have not been vigilant. They tell me that I was talking with someone, I can't remember who it was, but it was just recently, talking with someone about they were out in Africa, and they're talking about the lions. It may have been somebody here. I can't remember. It was very recent. And they said that a roaring lion, when a lion roars, if you hear the lion roaring, it's too late to get away. You know what cats do? They sneak up on you. They sneak up on their prey. And that lion will roar. The lion will roar in order to make up that last little bit of distance between you and him. And that roar is utilized to freeze you. You say, well, I don't hear the devil roaring. You're not going to hear him till it's too late.
You cut yourself off from those who can help you and to watch over you, and you're opening yourself up for danger. I've seen this happen in churches. I've seen people withdraw from the fellowship of the church. They'll withdraw from the influence of the pastor. And they think somehow in their mind they've been convinced that I'll be protected if I put distance between me and the church, because maybe you got hurt at the church. And in your mind you think, now I'm protected. Now I'll be fine. No, just the opposite is true. They dwelt careless. Let me give you the second thing. It says here that they dwelt careless after the manner of Zidonians, quiet and secure, and there was no magistrate in the land. A magistrate is an authority. There's accountability. There's someone, listen, there ought to be someone in our lives that says, no, you should not do that. Hey, young people, mom and dad, they're magistrates for you. And you need them. You need them to tell you, no, you shouldn't do that. Yes, you should do this. They're not doing that to make you miserable. They're doing that to protect you. They're doing that because they love you. They're doing that because they've been given a responsibility to help you as you grow to get closer to God until the point where you can watch over yourself. There's no constable there. There's no magistrate. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And boy, the city of Laish, boy, they took it to the next level. You know what they call this? They call this freedom. Come on. They call this, you know, in our little town, everybody gets to do whatever they want to do. They can be whatever they want to be. They can say whatever they want to say. They can do whatever they want to do. And we don't have anybody looking down their long nose at us saying, you shouldn't do that. And my, what a great utopian society we have here. No, what you've got is you've got a recipe for disaster and destruction on your hands. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to obey them that have the rule over us. Why? For they watch for your souls. You got pastors here, you got deacons, you got teachers, you got parents, and listen, they are trying to take care of you. And when they say, hey, don't touch that, it's because that's going to burn you. For years we had a wood stove in our house up in Nova Scotia. We lived in an old house, and it had the old wavy windows. See those? And everybody thought, oh my, how precious, how nice those are. Those are the worst things ever, because the wind comes right through them. The cold comes right through them. And so we'd keep that wood stove going. We had a wood furnace in the basement, and we had a wood stove in the kitchen. You know what we had to teach our kids? Don't touch the stove. That might have seemed mean to them. They wanted to touch the stove. Well, after they touched it, they didn't want to touch it anymore. That accountability, that authority that you're exercising there, it is for their good. Maybe Laish looked at their town and thought, man, we have the perfect society. There's no one being authority over us and holding making us toe the line. But in reality, having no constable, having no magistrate to bring them into a situation of readiness, caused them to be open prey for the enemy. There's no care. There's no constable. Look at the third thing here. They had no connections. Look what it says here. There's no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything, and they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. You know what they didn't have? They didn't have a connection to other folks. They didn't have what I'm calling, they didn't have any fellowship. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You know, when it says here they continued steadfastly, when you have to be steadfast in something, it's because there's a pressure on the other side trying to keep you from attending to that, whatever it is. Right? When you have to be steadfast in something, that means it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be what you want to do. Therefore, brother, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know why you have to be steadfast? Because it's not always going to be easy. Amen. It's not always going to be what you feel like doing or want to do, but it's worth doing. It's worth committing to. When you're steadfast in something, that means you are committed to that because you understand, number one, that it is your duty to do. Number two, that you will benefit greatly from doing that and being committed to that. Listen, when they had no connection to everybody, they were left open for attack. There is a safety in the fellowship of God's people. Amen. You say you're preaching this on a Wednesday night. I know. But you say we're the ones who are always steadfast. Well, maybe you are, maybe you're not. I don't know. Maybe the devil's whispered in your ear, you know, it's not really important for you to be out to every Wednesday night service. It's not important for you to go back and forth with the people in the church. I mean, you might go to church with them, but, you know, they don't have to be a part of your life. These are the folks that are your brothers and sisters in Christ. These are the ones that will pray for you. I've been encouraged. I appreciate every service, even during a special meeting. Every service, there are prayer requests being put forth to pray for one another in the church. That's important. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread. Man, we like continuing in that, don't we? I've been continuing in that too much this week, but and in prayers. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Let me show you this passage here briefly. There's a lot of wisdom in these wisdom books, amen? And here in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, look at verse number 9. Verse number 9, it says, two are better than one. Now, we believe that most of the time. If we're talking about donuts, amen? Or something else that we like. But you know, he's not really talking about donuts here. He's talking about people. Right. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Know what he's saying? We need one another because we've got a work to do. And the more people we have working together, the more work will get done. You know, there's a great work that we're called to in this world. We are laborers in His vineyard. Amen? We got the work of the gospel that we're doing. That is a never-ending work. You know what? We can get more work of the gospel done if more people get on board with it. We need one another for that. He talks about the work. Then look at verse number 10. He says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. I'll tell you what else we need one another for. Not just the work, but for the walk. Listen, I know you want people to think that your walk with God is always what it should be. But the fact of the matter is, we all go through times where our walk is close to God, and then there's some times we're not as close to God. You know what? If we've got those walking with us, they can lift us up when we fall. Notice the wording of verse number 10, for if they fall. It doesn't say for if one fall. Isn't that interesting? For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. You know what he's saying? It's going to be your turn one day. Amen. You're going to need somebody to lift you up one day. It's a lot better if you've got someone there with you. He said, woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. We need one another for the walk. We need these connections. Look at verse number 11. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? You know what else we need? We need one another for warmth. You know what happens often? Our hearts get cold. Maybe we just start going through the motions. And then somebody comes along and they say, well, let me show you. I was reading in my Bible today and God spoke to my heart about this. Man, they're all fired up. And they start talking about the Lord, start talking about the Word of God, start talking about the blessings of God, and all of a sudden your cold heart just starts warming up. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank God for the testimonies of God's people. Maybe you're getting cold and you come to a church service and the pastor gets up and man, he's been meeting with God and his heart is filled with the Word of God and the Word of God's like a fire in his bones and he cannot contain and he starts preaching the Word of God and that fire gets down in your soul, starts warming you up. We need that. Amen. You're not going to get that sitting alone at home. Amen. Well, you know, it's just me and the Lord. You know what the Lord told you to do? Get with other believers. You know, I got to think of that verse we always talk about, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. You got to think about that. And people wanted to talk about, you know, I'm in the tree stand, but the Lord's there with me. Not on Sunday morning, he ain't. You know where he's at? Where his people are gathered together. Listen, don't get all doctrinal on me. I know what you're thinking. Well, you know, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Yeah. I got that. But you know, somebody could be in this room here tonight and I not even know they're there. They're here. But we're not aware of it. Jacob said it like this. Remember when the Lord appeared to Jacob? Genesis 28. He's laying there sleeping on a rock. Amen. He has the vision of the angels ascending and descending on that ladder. He wakes up. He slept through the whole thing. Right? He wakes up and he said, surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. You really think you're going to experience the presence of the Lord when you're not obeying His Word? He might be there, but you're not going to be aware of His presence there because His Spirit's grieved. But He'll be here. You'll sense His presence here. This was going to be an encouraging message until I got to there. Amen. We need one another for warmth. And then look at verse number 12 of Ecclesiastes 4. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Know what else we need one another for? The warfare. Hey, it's a battle. It's a battle. You know what these people in Laish didn't have? They didn't have someone coming alongside of them, helping them in the battle. Why? Because they had cut themselves off from everyone that could have helped them. Now, I'm talking people, they have burned all their bridges. And sometimes it's these people that It's not enough for them that you agree on the basic doctrines of the Bible. They've got to find out what you believe about the gap. And they got to find out what you believe about the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6. And they got to find out what you believe about this and that and this and that. They're just looking for things to break fellowship with you over. And then all of a sudden, they look around and there's not anybody that has anything to do with them because they've cut themselves off from everyone else. And you know what I've seen? I've seen their families fall apart. I've seen their witness, their testimony just get blown to smithereens. They have no one to help them, to strengthen them, because they've cut themselves off from everybody. They've isolated themselves. And boy, if you don't believe this exactly the way I believe it, you can't fellowship. When it comes time for the warfare, boy, they just get overrun. They think they're Superman, but they're not. Amen. They need these connections for the work, for the walk, for warmth, for the warfare. We need one another. Two are better than one. You see how it started? Two are better than one. And at the end it says threefold cord is not quickly broken. Three are better than two. Amen. So these people in Laish, they had no care, they had no constable, they had no connections, and then finally they had no champion. Look back with me, if you will, in Judges 18, we look at this and just we'll wrap it up here. This is not mind-blowing stuff we're looking at tonight, but boy, how important this is. This is so important that we maintain fellowship not only with the Lord but with one another. We need one another, whether we think we do or not. We can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'd start thinking, seeing how much we need one another. We're members of the body. Anybody here want to voluntarily just, you know, give up a member of your body tonight? Because you don't need it? Brother, I can't even find a use for the tonsil, but I still want it. Amen? I don't want people cutting it out. It's going to hurt. But because they've isolated themselves now, there's no champion for them. Look again, Judges 18. Look down in verse number 27. And they took the things which Micah had made, this is the Danites here, and the priests which he had, and came unto Laish, unto a people that were at quiet and secure, and they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire, and there was no deliverer because it was far from Zidon, and they had no business with any man, and it was in the valley that lieth by Beth Rahab, and they built a city and dwelt therein. They had no deliverer. Their city was totally destroyed. It was burnt with fire. Here's a people. They were sitting there. And man, when you hear it described before the destruction, they were at quiet and secure. That sounds nice, doesn't it? I want to be at quiet and secure. But guess what? It was a false sense of security. They might have felt secure, but they weren't. Maybe they liked their quiet. Maybe that's why they cut off everybody else. I just want some quiet. They go to that church and the pastor's noisy. There's kids running everywhere. This and that and the other thing. I just want quiet. Listen, I got 11 kids. I understand that feeling. But you know what? People can withdraw to the point where they said, well, I finally got my quiet. I'm quiet and I'm secure. You may think that, but you're not. It got real noisy that day when the Danites came down from the hills. Got real noisy. Got real destructive. There was no security. I'm telling, let's maybe this is just a word of warning. Maybe it's something that you're going to need down the road. But one thing for sure, you got to get it in your heart. I need the people of God. I need the church. I need a pastor. Well, I've been saved 60 years. I don't need a pastor. Whoo, look out. That sounds like you feel secure. If you didn't need a pastor, you wouldn't have one. So what do you mean? I said, God gave pastors to the church as a gift because we need them. God doesn't do anything just, you know, for trappings. No, there's a specific need in our lives for godly leadership, for the church family. You know what we're going to find as we get closer and closer to Lord coming back? The persecution's going to ramp up. And then we're going to find out how valuable the church of the living God really is. Amen. Quiet and secure, they had no champion, no deliverer. The Bible, listen, the Lord says this. He said this to his disciples. He's praying for us, and he says this. I pray not that you take them out of the world. Right? What's that? Isolation. But that you might keep them in this world. You know what that is? Insulation. There's a difference between isolating and insulating. We're in this world, and listen, we're not to be conformed to this world. Is that right? But that doesn't mean we just find an island somewhere and try to get as far away from the world. God hasn't called us to be monks. Right? He said, you're going to be in the world, but I'm going to keep you in this world. That is, we might be in the world, but we're not of the world. But I'm so thankful that within our bubble, we're not alone. I'm thankful I got brothers and sisters in Christ. And some of them just totally different than me. But that's a good thing. I got 11 children. They're all different. Some of them have similarities one to another. Some of them I look at and think, where did they come from? I'm thankful for each and every one of them. They fill a void that if they weren't there, we'd be missing something. You say, well, I don't know what void I could possibly be filling here. Well, I know this much. You're part of the body. You're important. You're important to the rest of the body. And the rest of the body is important to you. Amen. And so let's not be like this city in Laish that just feels like, you know, I'm okay with just me and mine, and then, you know, the rest of the world can stay out there. The rest of the church can stay out there. No, you need the church. You need the fellowship. This church needs churches to fellowship with. Amen. Amen. We need one another. Might be a good time just to sit back and reflect on how good God's been to you, the people He's brought into your life, to pray for one another, that we stay strong. This persecution is coming. It's coming. Thank God for the family of God. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. I pray that something that was said tonight would be a help. Lord, maybe we'd love one another a little more, that we'd see the value in being a part of a Bible-believing church. Lord, that we'd realize that someone's dependent on us,
and we're depending on them.
Lord, help us to be careful, not full of the cares of the world, but to be sober and to be vigilant. Understand that our adversary, the devil, his greatest desire is to devour us, to destroy us, to ruin our families, to wreck our testimonies. God, there's safety within the fold. Lord, we start going out on our own, that's when we become easy prey for the devil. So God, help us not to be careless. Help us to thank you for the leaders that you placed in our lives and understand that it is their job to put us to shame for things that ought not be in our lives. God, I pray that we had not refuse that or rebel against that, but that we'd appreciate. We got moms and dads and teachers and preachers and leaders who are willing to point out the wrong in our lives and care enough about us to let us know that there's some things that we need to be put to shame in. God, help us not to withdraw from your people when that takes place, but help us get ever closer. God, help us to connect with one another. The devil would seek to divide us and seeks to get us connected to other things in this world. Lord, I pray that we would prayerfully seek more time together. We need that fellowship, dear God. Help us to protect that fellowship. And Lord, help us to ever look to you as our champion. You can deliver us from the devil, from the flesh, from the world, the influences in our lives that ought not be there. God, we certainly can't afford to be isolated from you and your fellowship. So God, help us draw close to you. And Lord, I pray that Christ will be magnified in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.